I've never really had any desire to go tightrope walking. Carrick or Ee Rope Bridge is probably close enough. It'll do me. However, navigating the issues raised in the story of Mary and Martha at the end of Luke chapter 10 is a bit like walking a tightrope. Let's just orientate ourselves in Luke's gospel for a moment. The story comes at the end of a chapter that has been all about the broadening out of the mission of Jesus. At the beginning of the chapter, the agents of mission are widened from beyond the 12 disciples or church leaders to the sending out of the 72. And that sending out of the 72 prepares us for what's to come with Mary and Martha, because the sending out of the 72 demonstrates for us that all followers of Jesus have their part to play in the mission of Jesus, to be disciples who make disciples. After the sending out of the 72, we then have the very well-known parable of the Good Samaritan, a broadening out of the who mission is to be to, perhaps to include those who we might not naturally get along with. But what we often forget is that that parable is told in response to a question. Jesus responds to the lawyer's question by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The parable has dealt with love of neighbor. And now in Mary and Martha's home, Jesus deals with love for God. So we're dealing with love for neighbour, love for God, and we're pushing the boundaries. Who will do the mission and who the mission will be aimed at. And we're pushing the boundaries here again in Mary and Martha's home, especially for the religious elite of the first century. Because the story is about two women. It reminds us that even in the first century, the women who followed Jesus were expected to learn and to be taught by him and to grow in their faith. And that was revolutionary. That was pushing the boundaries. Every believer has his or her part to play in Christ's mission to the world. That's emphasized visually in this chapter because Mary adopts the posture of a learner, sitting at the teacher's feet. There would have been very few rabbis in the first century that would have allowed women to learn, let alone sit at their feet for formal instruction. But Jesus doesn't seem to have a problem with this. For him, it is equally important to teach women about what it means to follow him as it is to teach men. Sound theology helps us to know God. And women need to know that every bit as much as men. Every believer is called to grow in his or her understanding of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and to apply that in everyday life. I would therefore propose, given the unlikely students of Jesus in this story on the back of the sending out of the 72, that this is one of the main lessons that we need to start with this evening. That none of us who claim to follow Jesus Christ are exempt from sharing our faith, regardless of gender or age or position in society. We have to pay attention and learn the lessons from this story and the call to learn from Jesus and to grow in our devotion to him. There's no Premier League of believer when it comes to discipleship. All believers are called to follow Jesus day by day. Furthermore, before we start to discuss what happens between Mary and Martha, I want to say that and underline that both women were counted among Jesus' followers. They had believed what he said. So I think it would be wrong to say that Martha was trying to justify herself by works and Mary by faith. My reading of the text is that both women were followers of Jesus. And what this story and this passage in Luke represents for us is not only that every believer has their part to play in Christ's mission for the world, but it illustrates a tension. A tension that is so often felt in the Christian life. The tension between devotion and service. It's like walking a tightrope. Between spending time to get to know more about God and personal devotion or attending Bible study or praying, tension between that and between serving Him, the doing, helping in an organization, an activity in congregational life, carrying out work on behalf of the church, being involved in outreach, representing the church in the community, and so many other aspects of Christian service. The list is really endless. By comparing these two women this evening, I hope that we will be reminded of the need for every believer to keep that spiritual balance in their life between devotion and service. Because too often we get it out of balance. So don't come to this passage thinking either or. Am I a Martha or am I a Mary? We need to be a bit of both, but we need to keep the balance between devotion and service. Martha opened her home to Jesus, showing that she too has devotion for Him, but gets distracted by all the preparations that have to be made. She wanted to show Jesus respect by giving Him a meal, but she is literally, according to the original, she's literally pulled away. That's the nature of her distraction. Pulled away from being with Him by these other duties. She was distracted by the material preparation that needed to be made for the meal. Whilst Martha, as I've said, I believe was already following Jesus, it would be remiss to note that so often today material things can hinder people from taking that initial step of turning from sin and trusting in Christ. But here in this passage, the material things are pulling the believer, the follower of Jesus, away from serving Him, from not growing in their faith. Because let's make no mistake, let's not kid ourselves. Mere lapse of time does not bring spiritual maturity. I've trusted Jesus. I know I should be serving Him in some specific way, but I'll consider it once I've made my million, or I'll consider it once the kids are up and away. I'll consider it when I'm older. I'll consider it when I've had my fun. Trouble is that sometimes it is possible to get so distracted that tomorrow simply never comes. We use something that is genuinely good and genuinely honorable to hinder us from stepping out to serve Him in some specific way. But when we consider the passage more closely, I think there's another thing that we need to see about Martha's specific distraction. Martha is busy. Martha is busy. Too busy in service preparing the meal for Jesus to even spend time with Him. There's nothing wrong with Martha's act of service. The contrast here is not between an active life and a spiritual life. Martha's act of service is perfectly honorable. But the problem is she's allowed the service to take over. And in contrast, too, Mary isn't lazy, because in verse 40 we get the hint that Mary has been busy as well, but she has gone to be with Jesus. Martha has got distracted from her guest. Don't misunderstand me. This is a tightrope between devotion and service. Devotion must lead to service, but service of the kingdom must not dilute our devotion. How could this be, you might ask? I'm too busy to come to church this evening because I'm preparing for this or that organization later in the week. Or I have no time to do my personal devotions or pray because I'm just so busy with everything that I have to do in church life. Or every day I'll delegate spending time reading God's word and praying with my children to my spouse because I'm too busy out there to do that in here. Or there's so much in our calendar over the next few months, it's just unreasonable to expect leaders of the congregation or of an organization to meet to study God's word together during the week and to pray. People are so busy. Or that very real temptation, sadly, that we see time and time again. During the opening devotions at a church business meeting, when people are reading the agenda or reading the minutes or preparing their speech, we get distracted by the busyness, distracted from devotion to the Savior whom we claim to love. Let none of us here this evening who claim to follow Jesus condemn Martha. For I think it's really easy to lose our balance and to be more like Martha than Mary in this regard. Someone has said that sometimes the activity associated with ministry can prevent us from more important endeavors such as hearing God's word so he can touch us. Just like the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2. They were active in service and perseverance, but the Lord says, I have this against you. You have forgotten the love you had at first. That, I fear, is the story of Martha. And that, I fear, is an all too easy position to get into. Busyness is an enemy to discipleship. We need to reassess our balance. One famous preacher has said, if ever there was a generation that needed the public worship of the Lord morning and evening on every first day of the week, every Sunday, it's ours. Because we are the 24/7, 365 days a year, busy, preoccupied generation. We can forget the most important things in life because we don't even have the time to stop and to think. Keeping our balance between devotion and service. We need to beware of distractions. And one of the most subtle distractions, even in the Christian church, is busyness. But secondly, in this story, we may smile at the stereotypical sibling rivalry. But you know, we can also see that rivalry within the church family. Dissension distorts our balance and clouds our judgment. In essence, there was nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. There was something wrong with the priority that she had given to it. And so her attitude sowed seeds of dissension. Martha comes to Jesus and she says to him, Lord, don't you care? It's one of those leading questions. And in the original, it tells you that she expects the answer to be yes. I hate questions like that because it always makes me feel nervous, especially when you realize that you don't think what they're saying is right. But it's possible to serve the Lord as Martha did and do it in a very unattractive way. It's not just women. Martha was grumpy, but men can take things thick as well, we may say. You see, in this passage, Martha stopped serving and she started scolding. And notice the effect that it had. The dissension that she stirred up ultimately stopped Mary from learning because Jesus had to stop talking to Mary to deal with Martha's grumbling. Martha was resentful of Mary and it ultimately disrupted everything. We need to be careful that we examine our own attitudes and don't get tunnel vision. It's all too easy to create dissension like Martha did. Part of the problem was that she became so focused on her sphere of service that it took priority over everything else. Maybe Martha should have asked Mary, could they have swapped? Maybe Martha should have fussed less about the precision for the meal. I don't know. But there surely could have been some give and take. And again, in the church family, There are different aspects of ministry. Many different aspects of ministry, many different organizations, different ages, different dimensions. But we are on the road to no time when it becomes us and them. It's not you in your small corner and I in mine. We are all in this together. If it ever becomes tug of war the way it did between Mary and Martha, when people place different priorities on different ministries within the life of the church, that is counterproductive. Rather than dissension, there needs to be cooperation. There needs to be give and take. See, the antidote to distraction and to dissension is the same thing. It is diligence. In verse 41, Jesus rebukes Martha, albeit gently, shown by the repetition of her name. Jesus tells her there is only one thing that is needed. And rather than explicitly saying to her what that one thing is, we're left to deduce it from the scene. And given the fact that it is Mary that has chosen better, we see what it is. It is her demonstrable commitment to the teaching of Jesus. She shows devotion. And every believer is called to be careful in keeping a balance in their devotional life. Because without it, the self-imposed necessities of ministry will smother us, and our service for the Lord will become drudgery. Mary's posture denotes discipleship. She is listening to Jesus. Her listening is active, like the old difference between hearing and listening. You know, being aware that I'm talking and there's a noise up here, but actually listening. Listening to what Jesus is saying. A disciple doesn't tell Jesus how he or she thinks it ought to be. A disciple is called to be submissive to the Word of God, eager to hear, ready to learn, ready to change where change is necessary. Those are the marks of diligent discipleship. We listen to God's Word regularly, hopefully in our churches, hopefully as we read it at home and perhaps use Bible reading notes on our own or with other members of our family. But the busyness of life can take the edge of this. We need to be proactive, to be diligent, to create that space each day to spend those moments with God, whether early in the morning or in the evening or at another time, whatever works best. Take time, like Mary, to sit at the feet of the Word of God. It is sad that busyness and material things can prevent believers from being diligent in this regard and prevent them from being actively involved in serving the Lord in a tangible way. But it's also a tragedy, as we've already said, to be so busy doing things for Jesus that we fail to spend time with Jesus. Someone has said the highest priority that those who would be activists for God should have is listening to his word. Maybe at first that neglect of the word of God may be hardly noticeable, but slowly we begin to drift. Then those attitudes of self-pity and resentment creep in and the seeds of dissension are sown. Or we wonder why we bother. We come prepared to sit on the sidelines rather than being actively involved. Many people say that when they were younger, they were on fire, but the diligence went, the devotion went, and now they still come, but they want to sit on the sidelines. Before long, we'll be trying to tell God his business. That's what happens if our service distracts us from Jesus. Another sheer side effect of neglecting to learn from God's word individually and corporately is that we begin to dry up spiritually. We begin to plod in the areas in which we serve. It becomes as drudgery. It's all fairly common sense. You can't run on empty. Your car doesn't do it, and you can't do it spiritually either. One commentator helpfully put it like this. Without the benefit of the word of God, believers adopt a mindset of narrowness, judgmentalism, or fault-finding like Martha of Mary. And eventually the creativity and vitality they once gave to their area of ministry quickly sours. Can I suggest that the summertime is a great time to think through this, to look back on the year that is past, to think about the year that is to come, because many organizations stop for the summer. To think that if you have neglected God's word and devotion for the Savior, that this is the time to reorientate your priorities for service in the year ahead. Or if you've been prepared to sit on the sidelines, maybe this is the opportunity to be asking, how could I be serving Christ more actively in the weeks and months and years that lie ahead? I deliberately titled this sermon, Keeping Your Balance, because there are two dimensions that we have to get into our heads to make proper sense of the story of Martha and Mary. Practical service does have a key and vital place in the Christian life. Jesus values our service for him. More than that, he demands that we serve him. What we do for Jesus is not the heart of our relationship with him. He prizes our friendship and our fellowship more highly than all our service. He wants us to be with him, and he wants us to know him more and more day by day. As I said before, the point of this passage is not to ask, am I a Martha or am I a Mary? We don't choose between them. Every Martha needs a prayer life, and every Mary is called to serve. Someone has rightly summarized the main thrust of this short story by saying, don't be so distracted and concerned about doing good that you neglect what is most important, namely to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word. To be sure, we are called to read God's word and to pray individually and corporately. We're also called to serve. As we leave this home in Bethany, perhaps as they move towards their meal, there are a number of key questions that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ must ask themselves this evening. Firstly, am I serving? Or am I sitting back and allowing other things to crowd out any notion of active service for Christ in his church and in the world? Secondly, if I am serving, am I being careful not to let the busyness of that service smother my devotional life? Because ultimately, if I do that, then my service will be stale. And thirdly, am I careful to keep things balanced and not fall into the trap of tunnel vision, where there's a very real sense of sowing dissension among the people of God? To be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is to walk that fine line between service and devotion. And when we do that, then we will be balanced, useful, and blessed. When we trust in Christ, that is the beginning of a life of service. But we serve our Savior, whom we love. We must grow more and more in our love for him, day by day. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that by your Spirit you call ordinary men and women, boys and girls, to trust in Jesus. And we thank you that that is the beginning of a life of discipleship, of following Jesus. And we pray that you would help us get the balance between devotion and service, that we would love you more and more, that we would be ready to serve you actively in our workplaces, in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, to take the good news of Jesus out, to see more and more people come to trust in him. But Father God, protect us from ever letting the busyness of that distract us from sitting under your word
and growing to know more and more about Jesus day by day. May it be so for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.